World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I don't know about you, but this is one of those mornings for me. I had an early morning. I woke up about 3:30, and I felt like I'd been asleep for about 12 hours. It was amazing. Couldn't go back to sleep. And it was one of those sleeps I was awakened out of that I know that I didn't awaken myself. You guys ever had one of those? And you struggle and you fight and you try to go back to sleep and you know that there's some force that's not going to let you go back to sleep. To me, I know it's the Holy Spirit that wouldn't let me go back to sleep. And so I got up. Others are kept awake from other spirits. That's a whole different ball game right there. But man, I just got I got a lot going on in my heart. I want to share with you. And some of it's uplifting, and some of it's not uplifting, and some of it's, I just got a lot on the plate today, and I'll try to fit the whole thing out. I forgot to tell you, I've been looking everywhere. I'm going to be in St. Louis, Missouri. No, that's wrong, Coach. Jefferson City, Missouri. All the folks out there in Missouri, I'll find some more information on it. There's a there's an event at the State House in St. Louis in Jefferson City on Thursday. I think that's the 12th. Starts at 1:30, and I wish I had more information. If you're close out there at all, come and join us. They've asked me to come out and make a presentation regarding pro-life, because it is a pro-life event about, I think it's life begins at conception or some type of bill like that. I'm sorry, I'm so ignorant about it. I got a lot of things on my mind. I'm going to be in Jefferson City on Thursday morning. Love to see some of you out there. Come and join us. And again, I'll get you some more information on that. We're really pumped up about our event, Occupy 2018, Occupy Till I Come 2018 in Canton, coming up in 2 weekends. Man, that's really gotten on us here in a hurry. And we're out of rooms, at least as far as I understand it. We're out of hotel rooms at the hotel. I think we got a reserve like 75 rooms, and they're all sold out. But there are other hotels that are available, and you can still get a ticket. We would like for you to come, and we believe this is going to be an event like none that you've ever been part of, and that we're going to try to spur you into action. Rather than getting those great big heads, little stick men like I spoke about the other day, we're going to try to propel you into action. Got some great speakers. I want to tip my cap to Mike Kerr here, the watcher. Mike's doing an interview today or tomorrow with David Arthur, and he's doing one with our friend Mark Trump, trying to help promote us a little bit. And it's going to be a great event. And so you can find that Occupy 2018. That's on our website as well. I feel like I'm a little distracted because my spirit's in a little bit of conflict here this morning. Let me get out of the way some things I want to get out of the way, some happy talk. We'll call in two guys here. We had our Salt and Light Brigade in Texas expanded to two new locations this weekend. Todd Barham, whose stepdaughter Lexi was on the show with us on Friday. That was a fabulous show, wasn't it, with Lexi? My goodness.
Fantastic.
They had their first Salt and Light Brigade meeting with people in the Houston area. And then Glenn and Corinne Claremont had their first event along with David and Cynthia Hawkins in the Dallas area, trying to get a Salt and Light Brigade event going up there. You know, it's really, really hard because most of us who've kind of dropped out of the church scene are really leery about joining again. So I want to encourage those guys that it's a tough haul because people have been injured by churches and they don't know who to trust and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to start with you, Glenn. Maybe you can give us a little bit of just a feedback. Because listen, folks, we need you to do this where you are. I got some other news I'm going to talk to you. Not today. Some stuff down the road I've been giving some serious thought to, and one of the reasons I was awakened last night. But Glenn, fill us in. You made a couple. I should have had those videos up. You made three wonderful videos that you shared with your folks. talk about it, Glenn. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, thanks, Coach. So we were very encouraged. You know, when you, you know, when in the follow-up, you know, we had a list of names, people that had signed up at the Watchman's Conference. And so I sent out an email thanking them for attending the conference and also stopping by the table and, you know, expressing their interest in wanting to get involved. And then and I told them, stay tuned. We're going to have a meeting shortly. And then I did a second email stating the date, time, location of the meeting, because it took us – we weren't sure we were going to have the meeting. David and I were trying to figure out a location. He had a couple of thoughts. I had a couple of thoughts. We finally found a coffee shop that had private rooms, and it was founded by a Christian couple. And so that was the location. Well, so we each of us followed up with phone calls, and between us, we thought we might have six or seven people that would show up that made commitments. And then, of course, you never know who's actually going to show up. Maybe you think
right.
Half of that.
Right.
But at the last, you know, like in the last 24 hours, I had a couple of people email me and said they were coming. One person said, can I bring a friend? Well, in the end, we had 14 people show up.
Awesome.
And that's not including David and Cynthia and Karina and myself. So there were 18 of us all together. You know, I sent you a couple of videos just so you could kind of see what we did. And I think the response was pretty good. Some people that didn't originally sign up left their name and phone number. So we found out a couple of things that people had some talents. And, you know, we left room for time for questions and comments. So I think overall it was a positive response. I think if David was on the call, I think he would agree with me.
They're naturally apprehensive, aren't they, Glenn?
They are, because it's something different. You know, there was curiosity, but, you know, but some apprehensiveness, exactly.
Yeah. People are afraid. What, am I going to go join a cult here? Am I going to be, well, are they going to sell me some multi-level marketing thing? What's going on here? So one of the hardest things you got to get by is just the fact that, no, it's none of that. We're just trying to, get together and fellowship and know each other here, Glenn. So I salute you guys for stepping out and doing it. There's now 18 of you. And I believe, as Chad can attest to, if you nurture that list, it'll grow. They'll bring friends with them. Others will come. And I'm not trying to overcoach you here. You know what to do, how to follow up and all that kind of stuff. And I salute you for having done that. We're getting some great feedback from what's going on down there. And that's Dallas. Chad's in Austin. That's in Dallas. And then Todd, whose stepdaughter, Lexi, was on the show on Friday, that powerful young lady. Todd had an event in Houston. Todd, can you come and talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Coach. We had about six people, I think, from the Watchman Conference that signed up that wanted to call to action more than just a newsletter. And so I'd done the same thing that Glenn had done, sent an email out to these people, thanking them for attending. And hey, we've scheduled something on the 7th of April. And out of the six, we had two show up from that original six list, but the other ones all replied back saying, hey, they couldn't attend it. So I was encouraged that that they were kind enough and thoughtful enough to go ahead and reply if they couldn't attend. So that was good. But the really cool thing was Anthony, who is part of our group with Chad. Anthony came in support and brought his dad.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And what a great guy, man. I love that guy. It was a good event. It was Coach. It was more kind of get to know each other. You know, like you just right. said that people kind of apprehensive. So it was a break the ice. Talk about our own experiences. Talk about what we how we are in the Lord, and you know what we want to do next. So I fired off that spiritual gifts survey, so everybody's super excited about that. So we're gonna kind of, like Glenn said, you know, they talked about you know what their gifts are. We're going to do the same thing here, and we're going to expand that to the end of the month. We'll have another meeting. So it was good.
Awesome. I salute you guys for taking the lead. Get Chad to coach all of us up a little bit, because he's done a remarkable job with it. And listen, more of us need to step out. And one of the real focuses of our event here in Ohio is we're going to try to put people together regionally, just like you guys are doing down there. When you come to our event here in Canton, when you leave, you're going to know other people in your area. That's been one of the real missing links in my mind of the Hear the Watchman conferences. As you go there and you don't get a chance to get together and know each other. So we're going to divide up. We're going to say, everybody from Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan, you meeting here, and everybody from Mississippi and Alabama, and you guys meet here. And we're going to try to get people together and begin to put people, get people to know each other. We think it's critical that we do that. So I salute you guys and want you to know how much I appreciate your efforts. And what we need to do now is we'll schedule a big event down there, give them a little bit of lead time, and I'll come down. We'll do a real nice thing and try to get that all organized. So others out there, we'd love to be able to do it in your area as well. Cool. Anybody? Any comments? Questions? Cool. All right. So Lord, where do I want to go here now? I know where I want to go. Let's go to Jeremiah, Jared. It says Jeremiah. I want to give you guys some update here on what's going on with Rusty. And Rusty's son. And so I got it. Jared's got to call that up there for a second. Hey, Jim Kraft. I see Jim Kraft's listening down this way. Hey, Jim, I want to talk to you later on today. Give me a call when you get a chance. Good to hear you, man. Good to see you. Good to see you down there. Let's see. Do we have it up there, Jared? I'm sorry. There you are, John. Okay, I got you. Okay. Now, listen, Jared, I don't know why that came up. It should be, is that my, Jared, I should have sent you that. Well, there's the picture. Yeah, that the email I sent you, Jared. I sent you an email. Okay, a couple things I want to talk about here. Jared's getting this up here. Jeremiah did walk. He walked. They said before they went into the Rusty was very, very concerned. The doctors told him to be very concerned. Whose report will you believe, by the way? The doctor's report was that he may not be able to walk again because the thing had so wrapped itself with around his spine, and they were concerned about it. But the report has come back that Jeremiah is, in fact, walking. And when Jared gets the picture, I'm going to be able to show you that. It's going to show you a picture of Jeremiah and his the incision they did on his back, which just kind of blew me away that it would be that big. But it was. Because, you know, they said fifth or sixth vertebrae, so I'm thinking it's probably an area not much bigger than that. They probably went in and did a little bit of work on. And but it's here we come. Okay, Okay, Jared's trying to. I copied and pasted all this with the pictures and everything. Here's what I want to read this with you right here, guys. Jared has it up on the screen while we're going to get the picture of Jeremiah up there as well. And I pray that you guys will continue to pray for Jeremiah because he's still in a great battle. But here's what Rusty sent me, and I want you to know it really, really, really encouraged me, because I don't know what you guys think. I've thought about this number of times in my own life. If I were to ever get cancer, there's Jeremiah's back. If I were ever to get cancer, I don't know if I'd let him give me that chemotherapy and that radiation. I just don't know. I picture of his back. Remember, okay, I'm trying to make life easy on you, brother. Believe it or not. While Jared's trying to get that up there, let me read what Rusty. Again, I, my own child, think about this. If this would happen to your child, what would you do? And Rusty, here was his update. He said, today Jeremiah walked today with a walker and took a shower. He's a new man. Tomorrow, that's today, we should get the results of the biopsy. And though we are completely relying on the great physician for the miracle we need, there are practical steps that need to be taken. At first, we were looking to go to St. Jude's in Memphis. Since then, so many wonderful people have offered advice ranging from traditional to non-traditional means to treat his ailment. It could be a little overwhelming, but we appreciate the concern, prayers, and support. Today, I think we made an initial decision of direction. There's a place in Tijuana that specializes in thermotherapy. They first cleanse the system of all the junk, feed his system with serious nutritional foods to boost the immune system. Afterwards, they do a treatment called thermotherapy. Apparently, cancer cannot survive above the temperature of 106 degrees. The treatment goes a little beyond that degree to beat back the cancer, and then the renewed immune system wipes it out. There have been good results from this treatment. So God willing, we plan on setting up base of operations in Scottsdale, Arizona. From there, we will transport Jeremiah back and forth to Tijuana for his treatment. Please keep Jeremiah in our plans in prayer. We make our plans, but God directs our steps. May we see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. So, praise the Lord. I hesitated. I was going to send Rusty. You know me, tinfoil hat me. I was going to say, Rusty, please don't chemotherapy that guy. Please don't do that, Rusty. Don't do the radiation. That's what I didn't say anything to him because I just could imagine how he was being bombarded with, you know, if it's my own child, how I want to make sure I could keep him alive and get him healed. And so I want to make all of you aware of this too, Jared. See if you can pull up this GoFundMe account. There's Rusty and Jeremiah. Look at that smile on his face, man. Not Rusty's. Rusty's got an ugly old mug with no hair on it, but Jeremiah's something, man. He's something. And so they got a GoFundMe. Pastor Dale Socha, in fact, started the GoFundMe. And I could be wrong, Dale, but I don't know if Dale's with us. I thought I saw it change yesterday. There it was. Goal, $30,000. I think that maybe the goal's even higher than that. And I don't know where you guys are financially, but I know this. Rusty does not have a standard medical plan for his family like the average working family does. He's like me. He is an evangelist. He doesn't have a church. He lives off the support of other people. And I can promise you this, Rusty doesn't have I don't have a retirement plan. Rusty doesn't have a retirement plan. He has some medical care, but certainly not for something like this. It'll cost money for them to go set up camp down in Scottsdale, Arizona, and trips over back. I don't even know the particulars of it. But if you're out there and you could donate in any way, yep. To this, I promise you Rusty will spend every cent of it, and I promise you they need every cent of it. So I just wanted to make all of you aware of that and continue to pray, because the battle for Jeremiah's life still lies in front of him, and we believe, as Rusty said, that we walk in we serve the God of the living, not of the dead. Walk in the land of the living. Michelle and I know that God's going to do a miracle. And I could do a show, excuse me, I could do a show on cancer treatments and chemotherapy and all that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that now. But I praise God that that's been Rusty's choice. Okay, anybody want to jump in and talk about that? shift degrees? Any advice or anything that you might have? I always pause because there's a moment of delay in case somebody's trying to get in.
Hey, Coach, I think that place down in Tijuana, I think I've heard of that place. There's some pretty famous people, I think, that go there. They get their system cleansed. I can't remember the name of the place, but I actually think I have literature on it. Yeah. So that was a wise, I believe so too. Decision.
I believe so, too. I think everything, well, I can't really discuss it because I really don't know. But this is what I would do for my own child, I believe.
Amen.
And see, that's one of the hardest things for us to do, isn't it? I just felt that poke of the Holy Spirit. Red pill, blue pill. This is one of the hardest things for us to do, is to go against conventional wisdom. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Chemo is a lie.
Amen.
To go against conventional wisdom. And you're going to have all kinds of people going to come alongside you and tell you exactly what they did. And this happened to this person. This happened to this person. And they tried that therapy and it didn't work for all that kind of stuff. All that stuff. And we are in the anti-conventional wisdom business here at Coach Dave. I think you've probably picked up on that, haven't you? We're against the conventional wisdom business. So we're just going to continue to pray. Pray for Rusty, but that's all going to be good.
Quick word.
Yep.
Went through cancer myself. Stay away from chemo and radiation. It almost killed me. Stay away from this. It's alternative. Whatever. There's so much out there. You got to different. There's natural home. I don't know much about the holistic part of it, but there's got to be a better way. Because now I still suffer because of radiation and
chemo. Yeah, that stuff kills you. So if wisdom is convinced. If wisdom is conventional, it's probably not wisdom. All right. We can pretty much go with that, can't we? If I look at the average voter in America as any indication, wisdom is not conventional. All right. So I said to my wife last night, I don't know what causes cancer. None of us really know what causes cancer. There's an unbelievable outbreak of cancer. It has to be something we eat, something we breathe, something we ingest in some way. It has to be. I don't know what it is. I'm not blaming anything, but I just think it's ironic that when we get sick, we turn to the same people to heal us who got us sick. That's what comes out of my heart.
Coach.
Yes. Yes.
You know, common sense is not common, so it should not be called common sense. It should be called good sense.
Okay, good sense, Larry. Godly sense. Godly wisdom. So let me show you some uncommon sense, Jared, stuff today. Click on the first thing up there. I just saw this in the paper today. JR will get a kick out of this one, and some others will get a kick out of this one, talking about conventional wisdom. Now, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to bite my tongue and see if this doesn't line up with exactly what we talk about on the show. Okay? Columbus Dispatch today. Vineyard Church volunteers spruce up Columbus School. Scroll on down through this, Jared, so we can understand. Here it is, very short. Apparently, this church, Nina Cannon didn't mind the 30-degree temperature as the snow fell overnight Friday and covered much of the lawn at Northland High School on Saturday evening, nor apparently did about 1,000 other volunteers from Vineyard Columbus who gave up part of their Saturday to rake leaves, spread mulch, pick up litter, sanitize lockers, paint and complete other improvement projects at 16 Columbus City schools. I don't feel it. Talking about the wind, I don't feel it. Last year, about 400 church members worked in 8 schools, and the church would like to see the program expanded next year with other volunteers and faith-based groups to cover all city schools. Keep on down there, Jared. We like to give back, it says. I want to give back. Columbus is a growing community. I want the kids in Northland High School to know we are supporting them, says the guy who's running the thing. Vineyard Columbus, by the way, has 8,000 members. And so they went out and they cleaned up the schools, picked up, threw down mulch, and want the kids to know that they're behind them. Now, I'm not going to make any comment. Does anybody? I will make a comment. Does anybody see any irony here?
Birds of a feather flock together.
What do you mean by that, JR?
Government-run schools are ruining our children.
Right.
And churches supporting that, it's very counterproductive just from a theological standpoint.
Well, Coach.
Schools,
they need a clean, nice, pretty environment to be ruined in.
JR, that's exactly what I thought when I saw this. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Tell me, you got to be kidding me. But I got some tinfoil hat stuff I just got to share with you here today. See, this is what we're working. This is what we're working against, right? I'm a red pill guy. I worked in those schools. Now I ask a couple questions. Why isn't the school paying for the mulch? What are the custodians doing? That was the first thought I had. Now, I saw another aspect of it. I did. If this would open up the door for the Vineyard Church to be able to get in there, the minister of the gospel of Jesus, then that's a wise move. But I don't think that's what I don't think that's what it is. I don't think so.
And, you don't want that gospel anyway.
You don't want the you don't want that gospel anyway. I didn't say that, but I'll make sure everybody heard that.
I did.
I don't want that gospel. Somebody else wanted to jump in here. Hey, Jeff, go ahead, Jeff.
It's about the same as having 25 churches in a gay parade.
Well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, Coach.
It's the same thing.
It's just they're killing themselves. They're committing suicide.
Yeah.
They're committing. Well, they don't. But so what do we do in a situation like this, right? Because listen, I find. Oh, I got so much to share with you.
If a murderer is coming out to slice your children with a knife, but the knife is out, the handle is freezing cold, what they're doing is they're warming the handle up for them.
And then Ephesians 5, Jared, Ephesians 5. This is the path I tread. I'm not complaining. The path I tread. And I can't unsee what I've seen. I can't unlearn what I've learned. I can't not speak what I hear. And so much of the opposition we come up against are those who should be on our side. And I'm talking again about conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom. How can any person who goes to church, how can anybody who calls themselves a Christian believe public schools are good for their kids? I'm just dumbfounded by it. How can anyone think the one common denominator in the fact that we're losing all of our children is the government schools? That's the one common denominator. And we speak it up. My daughter, granddaughter, Reese and Abby, they are into classical conversations. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but we went yet what that is. We went to a little graduation that they had yesterday for about 20 kids that are involved in classical conversations. And Abby and Reese, they go once a week to a homeschooling thing. And as we were there, we were watching it was over. My wife said to me, "Oh, those precious little children. The precious little children. And aren't you glad they're not being poisoned by the government schools? Aren't you glad that their mothers have given their lives to the raising of those little children?" And I said, "Yeah." And the same thing. How can church parents not see it? How can we not see it? And how can pastors not talk about it? Classical conversations. It's really good. But yada yada. Thanks for putting that up there, Jared. I want to get this out because I can't get away from this. Okay. Oh, I got so much to share. Lord, give me time to do it. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I could take public schools and I could put filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. Would anybody agree with me? All those things would go right in public schools. Filthiness is being taught to our children, homosexuality, transgenderism. That's filthiness and foolishness together, is it not? For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who's an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Do you see that? The wrath of God is falling upon them. Listen, you have to understand that the wrath of God doesn't always mean he breaks things and burns things and blows things up. You can show wrath in a lot of different ways. And it tells us in Romans 1 that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. How? Just read Romans 1. The wrath of God is revealed. Why? Oh my goodness, we reject the truth. In error. When it's plainly seen to us. You with me? Follow me? Okay. So let no man deceive you with vain words, for because I just said it. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Who's them? Who is them? Do not be partakers with them. Would that be those who are teaching the filthiness and the fornication? Somebody help me here. Am I misreading the scriptures? Am I misreading what this says here? Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes in darkness. That was me. I used to teach there. But now I'm at walk. But now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of transgenderism to those little kids. It's a shame to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Boys, I don't know how you can read that and have a kid in government schools. Can somebody walk me through that one? Roger, walk me through that one, will you? Somebody walk me through that. How I can knowingly, with what I know about they're teaching our children in school, how I can knowingly, as a Christian man, put my kid in there. Somebody please help me. Somebody help me help out the vineyard so that I don't feel so discombobulated by the fact that they would go serve the school. Somebody help me. Not much to say, I guess. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing to do with it, but rather expose them. Expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Expose them. Don't say how good it is. Don't send your tax dollars to it. Oh, boy, don't get me going on that one. Don't get me going on that one. Can you think of any other business? Maybe there are others. Other than government. Let's take government out of the picture. Can you think of any other business that you pay money for and you don't get what you order? Can you name any other business? Can you go to the restaurant down the street and order steak and get chicken and be happy with it? Can you go order steak and get raccoon? Can you go, somebody help me out. And they take our money and a lot of our money goes to the school and a lot of the money goes to the church. And it seems to me that in a way they're in bed together. Got a quiet crew on my hands, Jeff. Maybe my microphone's not working.
You can't dispute truth, Coach. What are we supposed to say? The government takes our money, takes our tax money off of real estate. They charge us taxes on real estate and personal property every year, and it goes to the schools, and we don't get to determine any way of what happens to it.
No, they won't even let David Arthur come in and tell the truth about homosexuality. He's not even allowed to come in and talk about that. I heard somebody else trying to get in. I'm going to move on here.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, it's like the difference between sin and iniquity. You know, sin is obvious. Murder, adultery, all that kind of stuff. But iniquity is when something becomes legalized. And so the danger to iniquity is when something becomes legalized long enough, it becomes normalized. Yeah. And that's what I think's happened, is we have too many people in our nation now that they think this is normal because they don't understand history. They don't understand the foundational truths of our country. And that's why God hates iniquity, the workers
Amen.
Of iniquity.
That's right. And he said, what are we supposed to do with those unfruitful works of darkness? Man, I'm just saying if maybe my Bible's a little bit different or if it got changed through the Mandela effect here. Mine says, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So public schools teach there is no God, or if there is one, it's an opinion. They teach that you come from monkeys. You evolved from pond scum, that you can't control any of your sexual urges, and you can be whatever. You can be a man one day and a woman the other day. You're in control of all your destiny. And would somebody tell me those aren't the unfruitful works of darkness? Can somebody help me out here? And by the way, where's the fairness doctrine here? Where's the other side being presented at all? Okay. I didn't expect you to say anything because I'm speechless myself. Jared, go down to the news with views. I saw this today, and I'm gonna take my time. And I'm gonna read this. Because red pill, blue pill. Red pill, blue pill. And I've been, you guys remember where the story, anybody know where this, the idea of the story down the bunny hole, down the rabbit hole? Does anybody know where that phrase came from? I guess I didn't realize it until I thought about it this morning. Anybody know where that came from?
Alice in Wonderland.
Remember that? Isn't it amazing they've been telling us stuff for how long? Now, I want to read this to you because it was at about 3:35 this morning when I read this. I had a drop the mic moment even though I didn't have a mic. And I'm going to take you through this very, very slowly here. It's written by somebody called Miss Smallback. And it's probably a fake name. This title, Why is the Red Pill So Hard to Swallow? That's what we're talking about here. Why is the red pill so hard to swallow? So we know from the movie Matrix, you take the red pill, the story ends. I'm sorry, you take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. The red pill is the allegory people across America have adopted to explain conspiracies, the deep state, and other subjects the mainstream media, public education, the general public failed to address in meaningful dialogues. Can I put church in there? Because this is my focus. This is my focus. Big religion's my focus. It's the concept of secrets and hidden agendas. There you go. Thanks, Jared. It's the concept of secrets and hidden agendas of the operating and governing powers of the nation and the world operating in their own interest to gain wealth and power for their own purposes instead of governing for the good of mankind. Apparently, that concept is very difficult for a large percentage of people to swallow, let alone digest. The reference to Wonderland in Matrix quote alludes to Alice in Wonderland, the hard-to-believe other world Alice tumbles into when she follows a white rabbit, causing her to tumble down a hole that seems to lead to impossible places and scenarios. For truth seekers, that's me. It's a common metaphor to ascertain a person by person's awareness by asking something akin to, how far down that rabbit hole do you want to go? This means, how many bizarre and almost unbelievable scenarios have you looked into and have understanding on? Cognitive dissonance and normalcy bias are probably the primary reasons people are initially unwilling to look a little deeper into their contradicting truths. That's why people send their kids to school. They don't want to believe it. The new information or revelation is too contradictory to currently held beliefs. The mind simply will not entertain the possibility. This is a common reaction, understandable at first, but it becomes a path for deception if held on to the face of, in the face of evidences, facts and proofs brought forth. You guys follow me? Am I doing okay? Take, for example, the world's wealth. If you do an internet search for the holders of today's wealth, you'll likely find somewhere between 80 and 85 individuals own over half of the world's wealth. The top eight popularly listed are as follows. So here they are. Bill Gates has $75 billion. Amancio Ortega has $67 billion. Warren Buffett, $60 billion. Carlos Slim has $50 billion. Jeff Bezos, $45 billion. Mark Zuckerberg had $44 billion. Larry Ellison, $43 billion. Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York, former $40 billion. For a collective total of $426 billion, which is allegedly over half the wealth of the combined bottom of the other half. The Oxfam and Forbes reports state that a mere 1% of the world's population owns over half of the world's wealth, and the Guardian reports by 2030 they'll own 2/3 of the world's wealth. Amazing. This is a great example of a rabbit hole. The blue pill has assigned these front runners as the wealth hogs of the world. But it would take a red pill question to uncover the hidden details. Take, for instance, the Rothschild family. I still can't find a specific estimate of their worth ranging from somewhere between $350 billion to $2 trillion because they are so adept at moving and hiding it. When they spread it out among their children and various other places, they don't even hit the top 20 most of the time. This is a red pill moment, and a rather bland one at that. Not really full of hype and drama of many of the other red pill revelations. But the blue pill operatives on the information carefully generated for the public eye, the Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos of the world, while absence of the red pill carefully conceal things like the Rothschilds. Interestingly, this corrupt yet widely applauded family has made their fortune on war and deceit. You can read a vanilla account here, the history of the White Rothschild. Perhaps even more interesting is how they have controlled the world's wealth through their banks. While it's hard to trace or outwardly provide evidence, it's rumored that the Rothschild family owns or has significant shareholds of almost all the central banks in the world. They were or are a major shareholder of the Bank of England, and that they are one of the six families who own the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank of the United States, Rothschild. The Federal Reserve is private. Whether Mayor Amschel Rothschild actually said, permit me to issue control of the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws, whether he actually said that or not, privately held central banks, banking for nations, has been the direct link to power and corruption for centuries. Red pill moments are when the status quo is revealed to be a fraud, only part of the picture, or an all-out deception. On things like banking, red pills are easier to swallow. On other things, the government corruption, especially corruption that falls along party lines, the red pill's not so easily swallowed. We like to think we've made good decisions and planted our loyalty flags on the Republican side, the Democratic side. If our party's engaged in widespread corruption, it indicates that we've been fooled. In agreement with such behavior or ignorance, none of those outcomes is pleasant, and so we tend to excuse, rationalize, justify, or just ignore evidence that challenges our beliefs. Now, guys, I'm going to stop right here a second, because I know some of you are already trapped on the money part of it. I'm talking about information that we're being taught about so many different things. The information you're being taught in your church, the fact that your church has been co-opted. Right? Let's keep going here. I was a staunch Republican before I studied 9-1-1. There's when I did some digging into the Bush family. Shame and horror washed all over me. They're sophisticated criminals. The ideology of the Democratic Party prevented any allegiance to them, and the Clintons sealed the case. Now I don't declare a party. I won't pledge allegiance to anything but the Constitution and those that uphold it. But there are a lot of rabbit holes and unrelated to politics. There are red pill moments in our lives, in belief systems, in education, in church, in learning, and even in some of our relationships. Sometimes data and evidence get exposed that make us question what we think we know, what we believe, and even how we feel. When that happens, we come to some crossroads. Now, some of those crossroads are more like Y's in the road. They just veer us a little off our original path. But others are perpendicular. We have to choose if we're going to change directions entirely. Those are the ones most people resist. The phenomenon of swallowing a red pill is that it opens your eyes to an array of other rabbit holes that you couldn't possibly have understood or recognized before. It's kind of like when you gain a few pounds and you think you need to add diet or exercise more. Then you do a little digging on changing the scales and what that entails, and you find that the Western diet is one of the worst in the world. As you begin to seek when the American diet changed so drastically, you begin to see statistical trends of heart disease and diabetes and cancer take a sharp upwards turn at the same time. When you dig a little deeper, you find shocking connections between pharmaceutical companies, D.C. politics, and natural health doctors who contradict modern Western medicine, and tremendous increase in suspicious death of these doctors. Anybody got the red pill on this but me? You guys don't know how many holistic doctors have been killed? Now, you started out in blue pill land, just a normal citizen who hit a small bump in the road, but in looking for honest answers for this obstacle to your preferred health, slimmer, healthier, more agile, etc., you found some data that made it hard for you to swallow. You mean Monsanto engineers GMO foods? They've been proven to be dramatically unhealthy for your body? Your body actually treats GMO food as a foreign substance, something to fight, instead of fuel? And you ask more questions. Why would any company willingly produce and sell this? Why would our government refuse to mandate food labeling on this? European countries do. Russians won't even allow GMO foods to be brought into their country. Or you or a loved one is diagnosed with cancer. This propels you to look for cure. Maybe at first you believe the medical industry's big pharma solutions, and you do the radiation and chemotherapy, and you get very sick. But when that doesn't work, maybe you dig deeper and find the cancer is successfully treated by people who change their diet. Maybe you even find that there's 23 different cancers that have been successfully treated by cannabis oil. What kind of questions does that open up? Why is cannabis oil illegal and considered a Schedule A narcotic? Maybe you find out that a natural remedy doesn't line the pockets of the lobbyists in D.C. or the pharmaceutical industry. Well, congratulations. You've entered red pill land. Maybe you're a Christian. And you want to see what the Bible tells you about drugs. So you open the Word of God, do a little digging, do some cross-referencing, and realize that the word that the Bible translates as sorcery is actually the same word that we get for pharmaceutical, originally pharmakia. You'll see the scripture is pretty plain about the sins of sorcery. You may even connect that to the pharmaceutical industry and see it as a warning from God's word to stay away from that junk. If you get to this level, you've ingested that red pill. You're no longer able to believe things you believed before. You cannot see the health industry, the food industry, the medical industry, or the laws D.C. makes to defend such things at the expense of citizens' well-being. You'll never see them the same anymore. The problem with your new position is most of the status quo are still eating the blue pills. The television shows are full of two-minute commercials for drugs, with half of the commercial giving you the side effects of that drug. Our educational system produces doctors with little to no education on nutrition. Or our legislative system penalizes nutritionists with bureaucratic red tape on every herb they provide as alternatives. In fact, nutritionists are forbidden from making any statements of cures or treatments, even though their patients have been widespread successfully treated for cancers, diabetes, heart disease, and just about every other disease that plagues America. No, the red pill is not consigned just to politics. Unfortunately, because some real red pill political facts, things that are not even political become political. When that happens, more rabbit holes are opened up. Down we tumble again until we land in another scenario. Maybe the queen screeching off with her head around a poker scene. Maybe worse. I suppose the point is, if you're not able or willing to ingest a red pill, the coming events on the national scene will be confusing, enraging, maybe even horrifying. The era of technology opened up both great advances and great evils simultaneously. And we'll say that again. Seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The eternal struggle, seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The era of technology opened up both great advancements and great evils simultaneously. It seems we are still navigating these waters. It is my constant herald that people would look into matters themselves, research, and learn from sources other than state-ordained educators and messages, public schools, media, public officials, established religious organizations. The same vehicle that hath bought our demise can bring our rescue. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, CNN, MSNBC, Fox et al. Have all been guilty of driving narratives, censoring dissenting voices, even altering facts. There is no reason to believe anything carte blanche. The instant and live reports from the YouTube shooting incident was a man or men in full body armor. Then they adjusted, released reports were changed to a woman, Nasim Akdam. The Parkland, Florida shooting has a multitude of variances and credibilities. Something popped up on my screen. Questions to the narrative, all of which are being censored and scrubbed on social media. Multiple witnesses at the Vegas massacre who testified of multiple shooters have been killed. Died. While the follow-up has been silenced. There are alternative news sources that get paid very little or nothing at all who are bringing facts, data, evidence to the forefront that the mainstream media will not touch. It used to be you had to buy a book or go to a conference or find a source to study under to gain knowledge in the areas. Today you can go to the internet and read a wealth of research at your fingertips, free or for little money. The same evil that puts pornography, child trafficking, CIA disinformation, government propaganda, and the like to a ready consuming public is the same advancement that puts truth before your eyes. But if your formal education from a state-run educational system and propaganda media is what you want to believe, and you are willing or unable to seek truth with its possible conflicts and discomforts, well, as Morpheus says, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. My. And what do we see? Oh, I got another article. I don't have time to do it today. Just be singing Larry's song. You don't know how much the devil's infiltrated our seminaries and our churches. You understand that? You understand the degree of infiltration to where the average church isn't even a Christian, doesn't even represent the gospel anymore. The average church doesn't even represent the gospel anymore. That the gospel has been changed from the advancement of the kingdom of God to personal health, wealth, and happiness. It's been transformed. We've gone from a cross that cost everything to a crossless Christ, to a Christianity that costs you nothing. And brothers and sisters, this has not been done by accident. Come on in.
Amen, brother. You got that right. Absolutely got that right. It's ridiculous. Monsanto doesn't even ingest their own products. They have a cafeteria and you in their building, and you won't find a single Monsanto product in that cafeteria. They eat real food, not their Franken food that they make for us to eat.
Hey, Vinny, why am I a conspiracy theorist when I walked outside the house yesterday? Was it yesterday? Yeah. No. One of those days, it doesn't matter. And I got my beautiful wife by my hand, and you know what my beautiful wife said to me? She looks up and says, "Oh, honey, look at those chemtrails." And the average person, cancer rates are going up. Ah, that's just contrails. That's just contrails. And if you point out, oh, they're spraying something. They're spraying something on us. No, coach, you're crazy. Cancer rates are going up. Yeah, they're going up. People are dying from a lot of different stuff. But now that's just air coming out of the back of the plane.
Oh, yeah. No, it's just crazy talk. No, it's just crazy talk that diabetes came out of nowhere. At the same time high fructose corn syrup came out. Yeah,
do you guys remember get my brain working here. John Hartzler talked to us about GMA foods and how they're destroying and planting in the fields and how that food's getting into the cows and getting into the people. You remember that, don't you? Is it tinfoil hat? I'm gonna let some out of me today, okay?
Do it, brother.
Do you have any idea how much estrogen's been washed down the sewers and into the drinking water? Rewash back into people, and people drink the estrogen from the birth control pills that people have taken. We look around and we can't figure out why everybody's got all this gender dysphoria. But I say that, and I'm a tinfoil hat guy. I'm sorry. I've been down the rabbit hole. I went down in there, and something's down there.
Yo, what's
and the churches tell me there ain't nothing down there. Don't look down there. Don't listen to him. Don't go there. No, don't do that. And so the truth is, I see my friend's son is sick, and I'm afraid to say to him, hey, please don't give him chemotherapy. Please don't do that. I'm afraid to say that. Why? Because everybody in the church said, I'm a kook. I'm a kook.
Right. Even though the chemo is poison. Everyone knows that.
He knows you're not a kook.
I know that. You get it? I'm trying to make a point here. It ain't about me.
Right.
It's not about me. It's about these lies that we're being told that we're accepting and nobody will stand up against. They're teaching our children that a man isn't a man and a woman isn't a woman and the church is buying it.
They're cutting the place out.
Those lies are egregious in the churches. The more egregious lies are the bastardization they've done to the Word of God.
Amen, brother.
Well, they don't even use it. I suppose they do. They use it for whatever method they want to use it. Oh, boy. All right, so listen. I'm a red pill guy, and I'm not ashamed of it. As Lionel said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy analyst. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't believe a damn thing they tell me. I don't believe it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't believe a damn thing they tell me. I research it. I study to show myself approved. And we are in like unbelievable. I don't have time. Chad, I was going to show your video today. I don't have time to video. Maybe I'll get time to get some of this tomorrow. Huh? You know why they're really putting people on the southern border? You really think it's for immigrants? Is that really what you think it is? That we're going to put our military down there to stop any immigrants from coming? Is that really what you think it is? Well, you think that because you heard that on Fox News. You heard that on CNN. You heard that someplace. That they got to secure the border from these 1,500. Here it is, 1,500 people coming across the border, and we got to put our military down on the border. Hey, boys and girls, I ain't going to give you the pill. You're going to have to look for that one yourself. But there's something far more sinister going on than we church folk understand. When we read the scripture, you pick up the scripture, and you read in the scripture, and you see that there's things coming upon the earth that if it were, oh my goodness, if it were possible, the very elect themselves would be deceived. We see that coming upon the earth are things that are going to be so scary that men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. And we blue pill it. Oh well. Who won the Masters? Who do the Cavaliers play tonight?
Hey, Coach, you're
right. The Holy Ghost. I know I'm right.
Doesn't everyone realize that this so-called nonsense called the news is all scripted propaganda? I mean, if we had real news, we wouldn't have time for sports. We have a sports channel, so why do we need sports updates in the middle of the news? We don't.
Okay, so listen. Here's your action plan. Listen, guys, I'm just going to tell you something, okay? You're either going to have to – you can't eat both pills. There are a lot of us watching right now that you're eating both pills. I don't want to see it.
You want to know why people are doing that? Because of Germany Must Perish. You ever read the book by Theodore Kaufman?
No, I haven't.
Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because there were plans to get into the war, and the reason to get into the war was to get something out of it. And if you read, there's a little film by Anthony Lawson. He's passed away, unfortunately. And it's Were the Germans So Stupid? Look that up. And it'll tell you that entire story about the bargains. So some people sit on the fence to see which side of the fence they're going to fall on.
Hey, fine, boys and girls, listen. Don't ever, 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 ever forget this. That the world is driven by money. Don't ever forget it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Is that in the scripture? Is that scriptural, Jared? Or is that just one of those made-up terms we hear like all the time, right? God helps those who help themselves. Does it actually say in the scripture that the love of money is the root of all kind? There it is, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root. Not maybe, not might be, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. No man can serve two masters. The love of money. Guys, take your heart. Imagine you are George Soros. And you have all the money that you could ever have. And knows Holy Spirit. Imagine what you could become. And you know what? God-fearing men and women will not run for office. If they do run, they won't get elected. And if they do get elected, they cannot face the onslaught of evil that they come against. Our problems are not political. Our problems are moral and spiritual. Indeed. And the entire solution to the problem is that stained glass fortress fort that most people go to on Sunday afternoons. That is the answer to all of our problems. And that beast does not want to get involved with exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. I am a conspiracy analyst, and I'm proud of it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.